Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yo, Doug.
What up, Doug?
Another good one today.
Is that right?
Yeah, longtime friend of mine, director of the Between Two Ferns, the movie, creator and star of Comedy Bang Bang podcast and TV show. Performer and writer on Mr. Show. This dude knows comedy. We're going to have a very serious conversation with him.
Wait, yeah, Mr. Did you say his name?
Scott Aukerman?
Yeah, there it is. What?
That is an important piece of the puzzle. I guess we could have just go on to the theme, because then the next thing I'd say is, hello, Scott Aukerman. Yeah. But no more spoilers. Let's go to work. Hello, Scott Aukerman.
Hello, Doug. What was your last name again?
Mellard.
Pardon me, Doug Benson. I'm talking to Doug.
Do you know what day it is today, Scott?
I have no idea. I just woke up. What day is it?
It's Thursday, June 10th.
What the?
Yeah. How's it going? How's your...
You said that was such import. I thought it meant
something.
I know,
something. It sounded like I was going to say, like, it's international, you know.
I literally was like thinking to myself, did I meet Doug on June 10th in 1995? But no, I think that was more in July.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
yes, I put too much weight on the date. How are you doing in general, though?
In general, doing okay. Happy to be out of the house a little bit more than I have been the last year. Yeah, things are looking up-ish, probably. I was neither Kulab nor I ended up getting sick, which was good. Yeah, so everything's good.
Do you feel like you did anything that, like, where you were like, oh, this is where I might get it? Like, did you have to do anything maskless or something?
There were two things that one during it, it was a little like, well, we just got to do this, which was, there was a big power outage. I don't know if it affected your place, Doug, but on, I think it was July 4th weekend or something, there was a huge power outage at our place that happened at about 4 p.m. And I was like, okay, we'll just wait this out. Cause I know, like, Lauren Lapkus had one earlier in the day and they restored her power like 2 hours later. Right. So I was like, oh, that's fine. We don't have power for a couple hours. It got all the way up to 9 p.m. And it was so fucking hot in our house because the air conditioning. And we had all the doors and windows open. I was like, we're not going to be able to sleep here. And I checked with the power company and they were like, yeah, this will be 3 days until it's back up, you know?
Ooh.
So we tried. And then my gate couldn't open because it's electric to get the car out. So I had to, and so I had to call the person who installed the gate to say, how do you, like, take the pin out of the gate? And it was hammered in there in such a way that I had to get, like, tools out to try to get the gate open. So I'm just sweating, and we call up a hotel and one that will take dogs. And then they canceled our reservation at the last second. I was just like, let's just fucking go over to Tall John's because we live around the corner from him. And I was like, you know, we haven't seen anyone for 4 months at this point, but let's just go over to Tall John's and risk it, you know. So we went over to Tall John's and we're like, we're not going to be here for 3 days wearing masks inside the house all day. So we just, you know, hung out for 3 days without masks. So that was one that while it was happening, I was like, this is probably worth the risk, you know, but I knew John was also being safe.
Yeah, well, John is so tall that he can't get any.
Because COVID hovers at about 5'3".
Yeah, so it doesn't get up to him. But the rest of us, like his wife and child, they should be concerned.
The other one was we went with a group of people to a private house in like October. And we were very safe about it, I thought, because we all got COVID tests a week out and then 2 days out, you know. Uh-huh. But then we found out that whole thing about the Dodger Stadium COVID tests were all inaccurate or something.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And so it could have fucked us for that. But yeah, yeah. Those were the only two times we kept it pretty high and tight, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's everybody that did whatever they could to, you know, not spread COVID. At the same time, did you get a cold or flu at all in the last year?
No, I did not get. I get sick like two right? or three times a year, pretty bad. Did not get sick the entire 14 months, and it really was like, geez, maybe I should be wearing this mask all the time.
For sure,
exactly. That's exactly it. Is that the social distancing, the hand washing, and the mask, all that stuff? If we had been doing less handshaking, less, you know how we are, Scott, we're making out with everybody. Sure. You know, it's just, collectively, you know, it's just crazy that, you know,
now you're
five, 10 years ago, five or 10 years ago, I'd see somebody in the airport with a mask on. I go, is that person dying? What's their issue? Why are they so paranoid?
we went to Tokyo a couple years ago, and it's just part of the culture there. I would say like a third of the people when you're on the subway have them on. And I was looking around kind of the same thing. And I was going like, huh, I wonder what this is all about. And so I read articles about it where it was just like, yeah, I mean, people just feel safer. And if they're sick, they don't want to get other people sick. And, you know, if people are immunocompromised, it was just like part of the culture, it's fine. And then there were like supermodels in Tokyo who wear masks on the runway. And it's like just part of fashion now. You know, so it's, and I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if that would ever happen in the States, and then boom.
Yeah.
it did.
You,
but
you did this with that thought you put out in the world.
Yeah. You make the future that you want.
Yeah.
I want one where everyone's wearing masks. I also think Watchmen had something to do with it.
Right. I mean, is everybody just going to be Rorschach at Halloween this year?
Just Rorschach from the bottom. Party on top, Rorschach on the bottom.
So we talk a lot about names on this show.
Oh, I know. I'm so glad.
We're both Dougs. And, you know, you probably get how that works in terms of, you know, it's not the most respectable name.
Well, your ancestors worked in the coal mines.
Right. They did a lot of dugging.
Yeah, they dug a lot.
Dig, dug.
But Scott, how does the name Scott work for you? Have you always liked it? Do you have issues with it?
I always did not like it. I don't know what it is about the construction of the word. It just looks weak to me. I don't know why. It really, like the S and then the round C and then the round O and then a double T, really? It's just, I don't know. I never really liked it. My brother, he was named after my father, but he wasn't a true Bert Aukerman II because he had a different middle name. And he decided very early on just to go with his middle name. I'm talking I think maybe my parents decided it for him or something like that, where it was just like, you know what, let's just call him by his middle name as not to confuse ourselves. But then I heard a story from my mom recently where it was either me or my brother. I'm trying to remember what it was, but she told my dad what my name was supposed to be. And to tell the nurses. And in between, in the 90 seconds in between her telling him that and him walking over to the nurses, he forgot it. And so he just said whatever he thought, the first name that came to mind. And then I was like, well, when he came back and told you that, didn't you like flag someone down and go, oh, actually, it's supposed to be this? And they were like, nah, we just figured it was okay.
So I guess it could be worse had he just blanked and really fumbled there, but
yeah. Well, and then even worse is the last name, which no one I knew, you know, it's not common.
Right.
So
for anyway, people want to put a C in there when they spell it, right?
Always, always. So for a long time, I wanted to change it or figure out a stage name. There was a period of time when I was like around 20 where the acting school I was at was like, this is the time when you decide what your professional name is going to be. That's going to be on your headshots and everyone will, you know, you're networking now and everyone will remember you by. And so there was a time where I was like, do I change my last name or something? And then it was kind of the Arnold Schwarzenegger effect where I said, you know what, if people can figure that out, they can sort of figure out Aukerman. But that was on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show. That was why I had the different subtitle every episode was just, it was our director, Ben Berman, kind of, you know, it's like taking back sort of the fact that you have a weird last name and calling attention to it so people will remember it a little more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Scott is also weird because it's not short for anything.
No, that you can't shorten it. You can go Cot, I guess, or Scott.
But there's no long version of Scott either. It's not like short for Scottifer or something.
Yeah, Scottrick.
Scottish.
Scott, yeah, it's nothing. And then my parents got me this like plaque when I was 10, maybe. My mom is very fond of tchotchkes. And all of the places she's ever had, like they cover the walls, right?
What's your mom's name?
Linda.
Oh, I was hoping it was Joni.
Joni loves tchotchkes.
Yeah.
So do you remember the drummer in that where he would count off the songs really bored? He would go 1, 2, 3, 4.
So we should bring that back. That's a great,
That's a good bit. So she got me a plaque that had my name on it and what it meant from the Bible or something in a Bible verse, you know, like Psalm whatever on it. And it was just like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Literally. What if his middle name was fucking? That would be amazing.
Yeah. Does he ever have a middle initial?
He had H for a long time.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's people that wanted to use it. You know, as a swear word, it's more fun to say Jesus H.
Yeah.
Like, but I think that H was just added to drag the name out.
It doesn't seem like people in the Bible had middle names. It seemed like they started with one name because that was fine. Because when no one's there, it's like Adam, Eve. Okay, those are two different things. We don't need last names. It's like phone numbers keep getting longer because they need to add different area codes and post office box, or not post office boxes, but zip codes.
Zip codes.
But they added, it seemed like around Jesus Christ, they go, okay, let's add last names. You're Christ. Your whole family is Christ. And now middle names, like no one has a middle name in the Bible, it seems like.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, you know, middle names are probably added just like how, you know, social security numbers probably got bigger, you know, like longer. Because, you know, just people realizing, oh, this is,
we're going to run out.
We've got too many John Smiths. They need a crazy middle name to distinguish them.
It's like these codes that they put into the, you know, when you get a DVD and the digital copy and you have to put in a like 20 letter and number code, you know, they're going to run out of those at some time.
Right. Well, that's why now when you go to make a password for something, they're like, don't you want to put some crazy symbols and other things in there?
Really.
I just want to keep it simple because I'm not that worried about somebody.
You're not worried about your nudes getting out, Doug?
I'm proud of them.
Oh, okay. Put them out. Yeah. Put them out yourself.
What's your, other than me, of course, and my co-host, Doug Millard, what's your experience been like with Dougs in your life? Have you had any
major Dougs? Yeah. Are you asking me a leading question you know the answer to, or?
No, I mean, we ask everybody just about every Doug they've known, because strangely, most of our guests will go, I've only known two or three Dougs.
Yeah. Well, when I first got to know you, Doug, back in the mid-90s, my best friend's name was Doug Binns.
Right. And, terrible last name.
And everyone always got you guys confused. There was a point where, like, at some point people were like, Doug Benson, Doug Benson. And he thought they were calling him. And he kept waving at them. And they were like, why are you waving, weirdo? And he, you know, he was not in comedy or anything like that. So people knew him through me, but it was very confusing to have a Doug Benson, Doug Binns.
And you can't even say Doug B like they do on The Bachelor.
Yeah. What do they do in The Bachelor? Do they just not cast someone who has the same last initial and the same first name?
It's wild. There's like two Connors this season, but one of them is only one N. But that that'd be a weird way to address somebody. Hey, Connor, one N.
Connor, one N.
Yeah.
Connor,
for real.
Hey, Connor.
Yeah. So,
what's the deal? By the way, what's the deal with Colin Powell? His name is spelled Colin.
Right.
If I were him, I'd pronounce it Colin.
It seems weird that he's anxious to say the word.
He's insisting that he wants to be called the thing that shit passes through.
One of the most powerful people, at least at one point, you'd think you could change that.
Very weird. He's a weird guy. He's a weird guy. I mean, everyone has said it his entire life. He's a weird guy.
Was it? I mean, was that like? Do you think that was his parents' pronunciation of it, or he decided to say it that way?
I bet his name isn't even Colin or Colin. His name is like Jim, and he's like, I want to make people call me Colin.
Call me Colin.
Call me by your colon. Hey, come here over. Can you come here over here by my colon?
How is Doug Binns doing these days?
He's good. I just caught up with him. He's in Korea. He's been in Korea for now a long time. He just up and moved there. To teach ESL, English as a Second Language, because he taught it here and just really liked the culture and just decided to up and move to Korea.
Wow. And he likes it.
He likes it. He's like, you know, I think I follow him on Twitter. He rarely tweets. He's like a once every 4 months guy, you know, but it seems like anytime he does, it's about some sort of very specific Korean cultural thing happening in the news that he's, you know, very interested in talking about or something. And I have no idea what it ever is.
What other Dougs have there been? Is that just the two of us?
No, when I was eight, I moved to a different house. So I went to a different elementary school. And my first day I was put in, I remember the layout of the class exactly. And I was put in sort of all of the desks were in a, not a circle, but a square around, you know, around the edge of the square room, and the teacher would be in the middle. And, I got put into the corner because I was the only empty desk. And I was just like really scared and, you know, nervous about not having any friends or something. And the kid who was sitting next to me was so friendly and was just like, hey, welcome to the new school. What's your name? My name's Doug. And, that was a Doug who became my friend all the way through high school.
Oh, representing.
Sounds like a great Doug.
And he was a good Doug,
but no idea what's happened to him since.
He's a lawyer, I believe, in San Diego. I saw him at the 10-year reunion and maybe the 20-year reunion too. The 10-year reunion, he had a girlfriend who it might have been his fiance, but I don't think he ended up with her. Who everyone got so trashed at the 10-year reunion, and we all went back to my friend Adrian's house, who's the drummer in No Doubt, and he just had the after party, you know, going on, and everyone got so fucking trashed. And I went into the backyard, his backyard, and the girl that he had brought to the reunion was there, and I was trashed. So I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but she was like babbling about how no one respected her. You know, that kind of like talk when you're super trashed and just like weird truth comes out and she's like, no one respects me. I'm good. I'm talented. I can sing. And then she started like singing opera. And I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? And then I passed out on the back wheel of Adrian's car, like as a pillow, using it as a pillow.
That's a solid reunion.
It was really funny. And then suddenly at like 8 a.m, the garage door opened and all those guys were going to breakfast and they saw me and laughed at me. Passed out on the car. And they said, just go inside and get on the couch. And then they all went to breakfast. That was the Doug. The other Doug I knew, he was very funny because he would try to cheat on his book reports all the time when we were in sixth grade by not reading the book and then try to write a book report that was vague enough just him guessing, you know. And he was the guy who my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Conowall, he would interview us when we turned in the book reports and try to pepper us with questions to see if you really had read the book. And the two examples I can remember were he read a Harry Houdini biography and he was like, so Doug, how did Harry Houdini die? And Doug was like, he drowned in one of his tricks gone wrong. And Mr. Conwell said, nope, he was punched in the stomach. And that was where I learned that Harry Houdini died by a fan just coming up to him and punching him in the stomach, because Harry Houdini on stage had that thing where it was like punch. He would clench his abdominal muscles really tightly, but if you're not prepared for it, some guy, he wasn't ready for it. So some guy just like randomly came up to him on the street, was like, hey, Houdini, just punched a hole through his stomach. And then the other one that was really funny was he read Old Yeller. And Mr. Conowall like sort of roundabout asked him a few questions about like, so, you know, what time period is this set in? You know, what's the family's name? All this. And then he's still not really catching him. And at the end he goes, Doug, who was Old Yeller?
Oh, no.
And Doug says, the neighbor?
Yeah, and that's why he had to be put down at the end. He was a bad neighbor.
He was like Rand Paul's neighbor. Yeah. So those, I think, are my two major Dougs. I'm trying to think of any other Doug.
Those are cute. Usually this question is over in seconds because people just go, I just don't really know Dougs.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a lot of Dougs in my life, but it sounds like I dare to say that through me, Doug was a really support system for you.
Yeah, I did have a roommate, Doug, who I've talked about on Threedom, the podcast, a lot. He's the guy who his catchphrase was, I have parties. and he was the guy who, I was in theater school with him two women came to the door trying to sell magazines. I feel like they were our age, right? They were 20 or 18 or whatever. And Doug was like, come back tonight. We're having a party. and we weren't, of course, but he made one.
Yeah.
And it was just a party with like, really, it was just me, Doug, our other roommate, Bagel.
Bagel.
Bagel. Yeah. The only Bagel I've ever known.
Are you available to do Wide World of Bagels?
Yes. I'll talk a lot about Bagel. It was the three of us and then maybe one other person. And then these two girls came over, but it was like, I always remember Doug was giving the one that he wanted to be with. He was giving her the tour. And I think it was going to be like, hey, let's play card games or something like that. But at one point he was just like, come here. I want to show you something. And he took her into the bedroom and had sex with her. And I was just like, what an elegant pickup line. Come here, I want to show you something.
I want to show you something called sex.
This is how it's done. This is a neat little trick I can do. He had been the, I think he grew up in Hawaii, was it? I can't remember, but he had been the kid in The King and I with Yul Brynner, not the movie, but in a stage production. And those were his sort of theater bona fides. And I don't think he had acted in between. Maybe I might be getting it wrong, but at a certain point where I moved there with my friend from college, we were going to be roommates and go there together. And then we just fought all the time once we moved in together. So he moved out like 3 months later and I needed a place to be. So I moved in with Doug and Bagel. Doug and Bagel were friends similarly, but Bagel wasn't in the theater school. Bagel just like moved up there to be with his best friend, Doug, which was sweet, I thought.
Doug and Bagel. That seems like a Doug Benson cartoon, I don't know, sitcom of some kind.
Yeah, like, sure. You're don't steal it, but yeah, okay.
Look out. Look out, Waffles and Mochi. Bagels and Doug are in town.
Bagel at that same party was really upset that the other girl wouldn't pair off with him. And so he got really drunk and he went into the little closet, the sort of like man-sized closet, that's like a pantry closet where the trash can was, and he was like, I'm just gonna sleep in here with the trash where I belong. a lot of fun times out there at theater school. Those I'm trying to think of any other Doug that I've known. Have there been Dougs in comedy that we know?
Well, yeah, there will, but not, I don't think you've had much interaction with Doug Stanhope.
Not really, no.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's probably a few other Dougs out there, but, you know, as far as comedians are go, we don't really, you know, talk about other comedians named Doug because, you know, we don't want to build them up.
Yeah. We tear them down.
Yeah.
Oh, so I had my middle school Doug, middle school and high school Doug. I had my college roommate Doug, and I had my best friend after college Doug. And that takes us up to you, Doug, who was truly, I think, one of my first friends in comedy.
It feels like a Doug passing of the torch throughout your life. Like there's always a Doug.
Truly, always a Doug there. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for lately. But I guess, you know, once you get married and have pets, then you really
name
don't,
one
you don't
of
need
them
Dougs
Doug. You're right. You're right. Rename one of them Doug.
Yeah.
Cool up. Sorry. Molly's name is Doug now. No discussion. Non-negotiable.
You could just, and that'd be fun to just, you know, a couple with a dog just start, you know, the other person just start calling it something else just for, you know, just for laughs, you know, just like, and the dog would start to be like, why do you each have a different name for me?
And then it goes to just for laughs. And new faces.
Have you ever played a character named Doug?
That's a great question. Wow.
I don't think I saw any on your IMDb.
I feel like I play, look, I haven't had a lot of roles, so I am offer only and I refuse to learn lines. And I insist on wearing my own clothes, no matter what the role is. But okay, let's go through my screen, the things I can remember. Just Shoot Me, I played Greenberg. I assume I was Jewish. Then Austin Powers, I played young Nigel, the young Michael Caine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then have I ever been on any other TV show? Okay, Curb Your Enthusiasm, I was Cop. Sarah Silverman Program, I was Agent Falcon, I believe, and then also Cop, Banana Cop.
You've been a cop a lot.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like you're just kind of standing around somewhere and they go, oh, Scott will fit in the cop outfit.
It kind of became a funny thing. Like when we did the Michael Bolton special, we needed a couple of security guards. I was like, get me the cop uniform.
I know that one cracked me up that I, when I saw that, you know, you do, it's you, you made, you called the shots on that thing and you still end up playing a cop.
it was fun. And then Nicole Byer and I just like improvised for like Akiva would not call cut. And we were so behind and we were like going till 5 a.m. some nights. And mainly because Michael Bolton, I think, is a night guy, you know, and he didn't want to get up until 2 p.m., you know?
Yeah.
But I was just like, what is Akiva doing? And he was just like enjoying it. He was like, this is so funny. I was like, we're not using any of this. He's like, I know, but I'm having fun. I was a cop in Auntie Donna as well. And then in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I was Glandis or something.
Yeah, that's the name.
So
what was his deal?
He was a hacker.
Oh.
He was a hacker, and he Kulop and I were hackers together, and Eugene Cordero. We were a trio of hackers. I don't remember if we had taken over there, you know, whatever it was, and they needed us to rehack it. I can't remember the plot, but I will say that we all did it. And Dan Gore, who, you know, is like the head honcho over there, is a Bang Bang fan. And, you know, it truly was an offer only, just like, hey, come do this part. And it was fun. And it was the season finale. And he was like, I saw him about 3 months later because I was moderating a panel for Brooklyn. And he said, by the way, we're writing the season premiere right now. And we've figured out there's just no way we can't ask you back. Like the plot won't make sense unless we have you guys back. So, you know, be prepared. You're going to be asked back. I've never heard from him ever again. I believe he emailed me once asking me a question about something Jason Mantzoukas did, confusing the two of us. He's like, remember that story you told on Bang Bang? I'm like, you're thinking of Mantzoukas, my guy. But thanks for that.
remember when you were in John Wick 3?
But I mean, I say this facetiously. I know things change and I'm not actually mad about that, but it's.
Yeah, but it is funny that it's just dangling like that. I mean, you know, you did get to be on the show. It's such a good show. It makes me, it upsets me a little bit because the jokes are so good, but they have to tell a cop story every week. I just don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's you have to do some sort of thing that they do on CSI or NCIS or whatever, but at the same time be funny.
Yeah, you got to make it sound like everybody there knows about cop stuff, you know. And
it's like NYPD Blue had that one consultant guy who was a New York cop, and they like everyone talked like him because he's like, "This is how all cops talk." Hey, this, we got this twist in Lockup, and so every single character talked like him, and then they find out like, "Oh, only he talks like that." Yeah. But then they're stuck, you know.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Smits helped pull him out of that. when he joined, he brought a different flavor to it.
It was Smith.
Jim, it's Jim, the initial E, Smith, but for some reason people call him Jimmy Smits. I think that's more of a nickname. What's up, Smits? Okay. You're doing great, Scott.
Thank you. I feel like I've exhausted my Doug supply, though, unfortunately.
Well, that's the you know, you went deeper than anybody else, and
so deep, put your ass to sleep. Yeah, but I don't think I've played a Doug. It really seems like a glaring omission.
You know, you can dream to someday play a character that with the name they want everybody to know immediately that. It's just a boring person.
It's either boring or like unassuming or like non-threatening. Like, hey, this is Doug. This is my husband, Doug.
He's
never going to be sexual.
Yeah. It's every actor who's played characters that are shy or uninteresting. They've played Dougs for sure.
What was your character's name on Friends?
Tom.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is, you know,
I loved Bloomingdale's.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Well, my mom loved it.
Oh, I always forget. I confuse your characters up.
When Bloomingdale's is mentioned, I always bring up how much my mom loves it. and somehow I never get laid with that.
Doesn't she have a nickname for it?
Bloomies, right?
Yep.
Doug, he was trying to goad me into saying it, and then you fell for it. You said it.
Bloomies.
Say it like that.
Bloomies.
But yeah, I swear I got that part just for that one word.
That's how it happens. You go in and give a unique line reading, and they.
But I didn't think it was unique. And the word is bloomies. Like, how are you supposed to say it?
Yeah, but you gave it the old Doug Benson cadence.
I did. Who do you think's going to win in this Carter Odom fight?
No idea what you're talking about. Yeah, so if you could give me a little more explanation.
Nick Carter is going to fight Lamar Odom. Yeah. Who's a good.
Like professionally or they're just going to fight after school today?
It's one of these dumb Logan, you know. What was that last one that just happened? Logan Paul. Yeah, it's just one of these stupid celebrity boxing thing. You know, like they're just going to get rich.
I don't trust people with two first names. I don't like. I mean, and you're suspect, Doug, because was Benson, you know, the butler, was that his first name?
Oh, that's a great question.
That's a good question.
I don't know, but I know that. I know that like a lot of people jump to, you know, calling me. Does this ever happen to you, Doug? Do you ever get called Mr. Doug by anybody?
No. Oh, but I did. I meant to take a picture. I got Doug again last night. D-O-U-G-H.
Doug. Yeah. Like on a coffee cup or something? Or
A to-go bag of food.
Yeah. If they have to write it down, they add an H for God knows what reason.
My coworker Corinne, it doesn't seem that hard. Corinne, how fucking hard? It's pretty common, I think. But every day when she comes in with a coffee cup, it's spelled a weird way. It's, it's Karen or it's Coran or it's so strange.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. And then when they go to turn and yell it out, then they say it wrong because they wrote it down wrong. You know, and it's usually a different person that yells it out. I'm going to start giving, like, with a mask on too. Like, I don't know how long we're going to have to wear masks, like in Starbucks and stuff, but like, I cannot, the first time I answer a question, I'll always get, what was that? Or, you know, can you say that again?
Yeah.
When I'm talking through a mask, I'm terrible at talking through a mask.
Yeah.
You should put like a little hole in your mask where your mouth is. So that
yeah. That's a great idea. There's actually somebody, you know, actually produced masks with a flap so that you could smoke a joint or a cigarette while you have a mask on. It's just this little tiny hole in the middle that you just open up and stick it in there. And it's stupid. Have you ever?
Did I answer your Lamar Odom question to your satisfaction?
I don't think so. I thought that Nick Carter is going to fight a guy. I thought Scott Aukerman's going to know about this.
Well, I haven't.
Because you're so into music.
Yeah, I haven't necessarily kept up with Nick as much as I'd like.
You don't know. You're not familiar with all the face tattoos he has now.
What? What are they up?
Yeah, he's got tattoos all over his face. But he just said on TV yesterday that he's going to get them removed because he's about to have a baby. And he doesn't want his baby to see his tattooed face, but I've talked to some people and having a tattoo removed off of like a place that isn't your face is incredibly painful, but he's got them all over his face and he's going to get them removed. Oh, it's just like, what's his name? Pete Davidson is getting all of his tattoos removed. It's like that has got to be such torture.
Oh. Isn't that why people like him or like women like him? You know what I mean? Like if he was just a dorky guy without tattoos, he wouldn't have that sort of sense of danger where they're like, oh, there's something interesting about him.
I feel like it's a calling card for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good, you know, I mean, someone told me when I was growing up, what, you know, get tattoos or whatever, but nothing, that a shirt won't cover. Yeah. If you're in court.
Yeah.
Nothing a judge can see. Like nothing, yeah, and, nothing yeah. above the collar, nothing on the hands, you know.
Yeah, no expletives.
No teardrops. You know, no matter how many people you've killed in prison.
I was just gonna make a joke about that lady. I was gonna say no trucking and fucking shirts.
What the? Okay, tell me about this lady, because I've been busy all morning and I saw something that I assumed was a joke, which it's is insane. she has a teardrop tattoo to commemorate a person she killed when she fell asleep at the wheel, or is that a joke?
She's well, the picture went viral for at least several reasons, because she looks like Amy Schumer. So that's like Amy sure. Schumer's trending. Cause
that's already like gold.
Yeah. Then she has that tattoo that I will circle back to, because in addition to that, she's wearing a shirt that says trucking and fucking, and she's a professional big rig driver. And she's at some sort of rest stop or something where there's a sign over the door behind her that says, stop pooping in the parking lot.
The perfect storm.
It's just so it's like those pictures in the back of Jack and Jill magazine where it's like you're trying to spot every weird thing that's in there.
Yeah. And then I think there's a couple more weird things. But the worst is that, and the thing that's not funny is that she has a teardrop tattoo, not because she murdered somebody, but because she accidentally drove over somebody with her truck and killed him and thought that was a good way to pay respect.
Yeah. When she fell asleep, like it was her fault.
Yeah. To put the murder tattoo on your face and say, it's not, I didn't murder anyone. I'm paying tribute to someone I killed.
I had assumed it was a joke because the trucking and fucking and all that stuff, it seemed fake.
It's all so crazy, and it might come out that it's all a fake person, but I feel like maybe it's real and sad.
I feel like the family would be happy with that tribute.
Hey.
We really miss our child, but you know,
but
what?
No worries.
She stepped up. She did what she had to do. Do you have anything else you want to ask Doug Scott, before we go to the next? Did we ask him about Doug Emhoff yet?
Oh, no, we have not.
Who?
Our second gentleman of the United States is a Doug.
Oh,
his name
oh
is
right.
Doug Emhoff.
Right.
And,
okay. So I remember during the inauguration, there was a very striking young woman wearing a very fashionable coat, and she was like trotting around like she was cock of the walk, and it, like really preening, it seemed like. And I was like, you know, really like mugging for the cameras, it seemed like to me. And I was like, who is this person? And she's some fashion designer or something, and she's related to them or something.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. But she's like Kamala's niece or something like that. But she was walking around like, y'all know me. At the inauguration, I was like, who is this? What about him?
Oh, I'm just we're trying to get him on the show, and I know you know Obama.
Well, yeah.
So how deep are you in there? You know, like, do you think
I could probably give? I'm trying to see if I could bypass Obama and just go directly to Doug, but no, I think I'd have to go through Barry.
Yeah, if you could say anything to Barry, we'd appreciate it. We've got 5 questions each that Doug and I have written just for you, Scott Aukerman.
Oh, wow. 10 questions total?
10 questions. But first, before we do that, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
This is the part of the show where we ask our guests the questions we didn't get to with previous guests.
Okay.
And you can answer any way you want, as yourself or how you think they would answer.
Who was the previous guest?
Well, we were talking last week to Greg Proops, and Doug didn't get to some of his questions for him.
So I would have to answer like with a lot of references and kind of sneering, snarky disdain.
Yeah. And you know, since we can't see you, you don't have to put on the glasses or the or the suit. And then a few weeks ago, Jerry O'Connell joined us, and he didn't get, I didn't get to ask him any of the questions that I had for Jerry because he was late and left early and was walking a dog during it. But I still love him. So that's what we're going to do is we're going to ask you the questions that are left over from these other people, okay. But we're going to do it. We're going to do it right after this break. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. We've been having so much fun talking to Scott Aukerman that, I mean, we're really up against it. We have some leftovers for him. Where I hope we can get to some questions that are actually for Scott. But
we got to do the leftovers first.
Yeah,
we got to do the leftovers. So what's your... what's your question for Greg Proops that you didn't get to, Doug?
All right. Because you're the voice of Bob the Builder, are you actually a handyman in real life? Does that overflow at all?
Well, I mean, the first half of the question, unfortunately, has no overlap with my life. I'm not the voice of Bob the Builder. I think there can only be one voice of Bob the Builder. It's not like the children's 5-year-old version of Little Shop of Horrors I went to where they double cast every part and each of the characters came out and spoke simultaneously. So that has no overlap. But am I a handyman in real life? I would say 20 years ago, I got kind of into it and went to IKEA and put together all the stuff and figured out how to hang stuff on walls and all that kind of stuff. And now I prefer to pay someone to do it. So yeah. I would say at this point I can do small stuff, but would prefer someone else do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew you weren't a handyman from that can't open a gate story.
Yeah. Well, I ended up having pliers and figuring it out, but
you did it, but it was
they had hammered the bolt in there, and
you did say that
you're supposed to be able to pick it up just by like pulling it out, but
yeah, no, you said all of that, so I was out of line.
You were out of line, but you were trying to be funny and you're trying to be a big shot, and it backfired on you.
I know. I gotta know my place. This question is for Jerry OC. His IMDb top four is Stand By Me, Kangaroo Jack, Sliders, the TV show, and Mission to Mars are his best known for on his IMDb page. So I wanted to ask him, of those four, which one would you rather not be there and what would you replace it with?
Well, I remember seeing Mission to Mars, I believe, at the Man's Chinese and maybe with you.
Oh,
wasn't that the, isn't that directed by De Palma?
I think so. Or is it Carpenter? I think it's De Palma. Oh, it's De Palma.
It's De Palma.
Yeah. Carpenter did another Mars thing.
Right.
Vampires on Mars.
Yeah. I remember it being very disappointing.
Yeah.
And if I were Jerry, Sliders was a major achievement. Wasn't it like 4 or 5 seasons or something and syndicated and then Stand
Pretty
By
popular,
Me?
I mean, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. And then what was the second one? It was
Kangaroo Jack.
Look, that brings a lot of joy to a lot of people. I get rid of Mission to Mars.
Okay. I'll suggest replacing it with Piranha 3D.
Yes. A wonderful film starring Paul Scheer.
Yeah. Who else is in? Like Adam Scott's in there?
Adam Scott is there on a jet ski. We used a picture of him from it for one of our t-shirts.
And yeah, that in that movie, Jerry O'Connell's junk gets bitten off.
Ooh. Yep.
Which I don't even understand because not even by a piranha. Chew up everything. What's that? Oh yeah, wasn't by a piranha.
It's just some guy, the same guy who punched Houdini in the stomach, came over and just bit his dick off.
I love the Tony Curtis Houdini movie because for some reason they decided that how he really died wasn't interesting enough. So they changed it to he's like moving quickly backstage for some reason. And there's like some prop sword sitting there and the handle part of it hits him in the gut really hard. He's like, ow. And then he goes, I think this is what happened. Cause I saw the movie a lot when I was a kid. And then he goes and does a water torture, you know, a water tank escape routine. And because of the injury, you know, because of what happened with hitting his stomach or whatever, then he doesn't survive it.
I guess that's more cinematic than a dude coming up and punching someone.
Yeah. Yeah,
and also do an aerial shot, you know, of Houdini on the ground on the sidewalk and everyone rushing to him and all that. I mean, there's ways to shoot this that would make it more exciting. They're not trying hard enough.
I think Tony Curtis was just like, I'm a movie star. I don't die because
I don't. No way, Jack.
All right, go, Doug.
What a weird legacy for the guy.
I want to die by running into a sword accidentally. Yeah. Like, come on, Tony. Like, if you really don't want to be punched in the stomach, like, have someone behead you or something.
What a weird legacy for the guy that, you know, did punch him and kill him, like, to leave behind, you know, like, yeah, my grandpa was the guy that killed Houdini.
He's got to feel bad about it, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
He expects Houdini, although, then again, a guy like that, it's like a heckler who's like, I'm helping. You know,
yeah.
he's really like trying to get one over on Houdini, like, hey, maybe you won't be able to, you know, stand this punching.
Yeah, so, he was the amazing Randy of his day. You know, that guy that goes around debunking everything.
Debunking, yeah.
Okay.
I feel bad, though. I mean, maybe he gets a teardrop tattoo.
Quick, Doug, ask him another question.
All right. I got a quick one. Wanted to know what Greg Proop's favorite kind of pie was. Very hard-hitting question.
I think that Greg, he's such a classy, erudite comedian with so many, like, off the top of his head intelligent references. I think he would say hair pie.
Perfect. Nailed it.
I don't know why we're even going to bother asking questions written for you, Scott. That was a much better answer, and it wasn't meant for you. Jerry O'Connell's married to that lady, you know, Rebecca Romijn.
Ramjin.
And I wanted to ask him if he ever made love to her while she was in her blue Mystique makeup.
Interesting. So she gets it put on every morning on the set.
Yeah.
And I would think that she then, when she wraps her scenes, they take it off. So that would have to imply that Jerry comes to set one day to visit her and then does a little H to the P in the dressing room.
Yeah. If the trailer's rocking.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know how to finish that, but yeah. So I'm going to say, yeah, he did it every day.
Yeah. Okay.
Hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think if she had sex with him with the makeup on or didn't have sex with him with the makeup on, either way, it results in blue balls.
I think, yes, of course. And I think she took the makeup home and made him wear it.
Oh.
For sure. I mean, Jerry is up for anything, I think. That's my opinion.
I think there might have been a time where he went to the set and had sex with Mystique thinking it was Rebecca, but it happened to be Jennifer Lawrence, and it was like one of those identical twin situations.
Oh,
like,
no.
Uh-oh.
That's not good when that happens.
I hate when that happens.
Go, Doug, go.
Okay.
Hurry.
Greg Proops is in a film called Lizzie Lyon, The Unspun Truth. I was just curious if you think Greg Proops has what it takes to be an actual good sign spinner.
Huh. I mean,
some of those guys are really talented. It looks tough.
They really are. I remember I just love it when you see a guy spinning the signs and he loves what he does. Like, he's, yeah. Like I saw a guy who was alternating spinning the sign and then doing dancing and then pointing at cars. Like, you saw that, right? And it was just, it was infectious. I loved him. I think like that guy should be paid as much as Elon Musk for anything. You know what I mean? Like same level of skill, you know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I think Greg has a powerful upper body, not to mention his lower body. I mean, he could stand on his hands and be spinning the sign with his feet, as far as I'm concerned, like a bear on top of a ball at the circus. So I think he definitely has what it takes. I would like to see him do that. And I'd like to, you know, all the sign spinning places to offer Greg Proops a job and see, you know, how much would it take for him to do it, though? Like how much, like realistically, how much money would you have to offer Greg Proops where he legitimately goes like, I just can't turn this down. Are we talking like, and this is for how long? Is it 2 weeks to do this 2 weeks on the corner? Is it $50,000? Does he do it for 50 grand? I don't know.
I don't know what it would take, but I'm liking this because, you know,
out of bed to spin a sign on the corner of La Brea and Hollywood.
That should be like the next level. The next cameo should be sign spinners, and it's celebrities that are willing to spin your sign.
See, I think if you film it, people will do it for like $900.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they know it's going to be part of a funny project or whatever. I'm saying don't film it. Like literally you're going to work here. We're not going to film it. No one will ever see this. How much does it take for you to get you there? To do an 8-hour day.
It wouldn't take that much for me just because I think it'd be funny to do once, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm saying you got to do it for 10 times. You got to do it 8 hours a week, or 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 weeks.
How many breaks during the day?
I think you get a 10-minute break every 3 hours.
Okay.
Lunch? You got to get lunch, right?
I don't think I could. I think Doug could physically handle it, but I don't think I could. I don't think I've got
the stamina.
My feet would hurt too much, I think.
Yeah.
Could I spin the sign while sitting in a chair?
I don't know. They're all, the old Bartles and James just sitting there in rocking chairs. I don't know.
You know, I like to live in a world where I'm standing there spinning a sign and George Costanza comes up and says, I'm going to get you a chair because you shouldn't have to stand here and spin that sign.
Yeah.
And then he brings me a chair and I sit down and then I get fired.
It seems like, okay, you know what? I think then when I worked at Disneyland, it was basically like, you would go 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off, because it was physically exerting yourself like that was
right.
Was exhausting.
You go longer than 10 minutes, you get too goofy.
Exactly. Suddenly you split in half. There's two goofies. So you go 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off, or 15 minutes on, 15 minutes off. So maybe that's the rules. Like you do 10 minutes of hard sign spinning, and then you get to rest and sit down for 10 minutes. Would you do it then?
It's funny that you say like 10 minutes is hard sign spinning for 10 minutes is, I don't know. That would be pretty exhausting.
Can you go on the Peloton or the treadmill or something for like half an hour, 45 minutes at a time? Like you could do it.
Yeah, I guess so.
It truly is the lifting the thing above your waist. But if you kept it at waist level, maybe, and just like spun it, you know, at dick level, that would, you know.
You'd put your own spin on it if you did a Bloomies, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like you'd walk into that room and people would just go, I don't know how he does it. He made it unique.
I gotta bring me to this thing, to this sign spinning thing. Well, Scott, this has been an incredible hour of not getting to your questions.
God, I wish I knew what my questions were.
You are such a great guest that we're out of time. You answered other questions for other people so thoughtfully. The early questions about Doug's, you spent more time on that than I think any guest we've ever had.
It really was to my detriment. Yeah, unfortunately, I had too much to say.
You're going to talk to Obama for us about MHA?
Oh yeah, that'll definitely happen. I'll get you an answer on that tomorrow.
Thank you.
And what's your, plugging situation? Do you have anything coming up that you want people specifically to check out?
I think it's, you know, at this point, it's just the normal stuff of Mondays, Comedy Bang Bang comes out, the podcast, and then Thursdays, Threedom comes out, which is the podcast with Paul F. Tompkins and Lauren Lapkus and myself, just talking a lot like this show, and we play games at the end, and, you know, those are both fun shows.
I bet. I know. All right. I know for a fact that Comedy Bang Bang is fun, and can only assume Threedom is fun. Now, Threedom is... is that like a pay? Do people pay to see that? How does that work?
Nope, it's free. It's anywhere podcasts are.
Oh, okay. Did it start off as a paid thing or something?
Yeah, it started off kind of confusing. It was windowed for a while. And at this point, it's just like, it just comes out for free. It's getting actually more and more popular. So it's fun. Yeah, it's more and more people are listening to it. It's a fun show to do. And Lauren had a major announcement on a recent episode as part of our incredibly popular feature, Lauren's Topics. So check out that show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Go check out that big announcement. And thank you, Scott. Doug, anything you want to throw in here at the end?
I'm excited. I'm doing my first stand-up show in person, an outdoor show.
Ever?
He's finally going to try it.
It's going to feel like it. You know, first post-pandemic, or not post, we're still in it, but July 1st at Buzzmill in Austin, Texas. Check it out.
And I have something coming up. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be doing my first road stand-up gig in Tacoma, Washington at the Tacoma Comedy Club on Sunday night, July 11th. Our friend Sean Jordan is supposed to be the support act, but he's having a baby the week before, so I'm not sure if he'll show up, but
no excuses.
Thank you, Scott Aukerman.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is so much fun.
It was great talking to you. And as always, Comedy Doug Doug.
Got it.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.